You all right, everyone? I'll just pray for us started, that's all right. Father God, we just dedicate this time to you, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, that each and every word that comes from my mouth, Lord, Father, is of you. I pray, Father, that you give the people the ears to hear, Lord, and the eyes to see. And I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us is transformed today by your glory and by your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, let this be. Amen. We're going to be talking about Luke 8, 40 to 56. It was just something that Lorraine said beforehand, and it kind of jumped to me. When now nobody else can help, Jesus can. And it kind of jumped out to me when she said it. That is the truth to it. When nobody else in life can help you, Jesus can. Jesus can. The way, the truth, and the life. He can. So, at the time, before we get into the scripture, if you like, before, and if we can imagine that Jesus is walking the earth, there is miracles happening everywhere. And as these miracles are happening, the crowds are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The following of Jesus was massive. And if we look at the loaves and fishes, etc., there is thousands of people there waiting for him. Now, the reason why there's thousands of people waiting for Jesus, one, they expected something to happen. When they met with Jesus, they expected something to happen, and there was thousands of them. Now, thousands of people following one person, they're doing that for one simple reason. Jesus is exciting. And the more that you get to know him, the more exciting he becomes. That's the truth. But these people are surrounding him and surrounding him and surrounding him. The old point that the Luke 8, what I'm going to be sharing from it in a minute, to me is the point of belief. And we shared a little bit of this on Friday. And it's about believing. It's about believing in God. And this come to me as a dream. This come to me as a dream. So I'm going to share the dream and then the belief. This dream changed the way I pray. It changed the way I moved in God. I dreamt that I was walking across a field. And as I got to the in front of us was a lake. And on this lake, I was with the Lord, by the way. I pissed that bit out, didn't I? I was with the Lord in my dream. When I got to the lake, I said to the Lord, "Lord, wouldn't it be good if I could walk on the lake?" And it's the way he said it. Bruce went, "Brian, just believe." And in the dream, I walked out onto the lake, and then I walked back. And as I got back, I woke up and I couldn't go back to sleep. Basically, I couldn't go back to sleep. I am deciphering the dream. And then I did go back to sleep and I went straight back into the dream again. And I dreamt this time that I was walking across the field with a bloke that I know called Charlie. And when we got to the lake, Charlie said, "Brian, won't it be good if we could walk on the lake?" And I just went, "Watch this, cocker." And I just walked out on the lake in my dream and I walked back and then I woke up. What I want to emphasise out the dream before I start with what I'm about to say, just believe. That's what the Lord wants us to do, is to believe in him. Believe that whatever problem that you've got within your life, he is in control. Whatever mountain that you've got, he is in control. Like that childlike faith. My wife's going to read the scripture out for us and I'm going to decipher it.
So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman, having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep, she is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened.
So Jairus and the woman that was bleeding, two completely different people. You've got Jairus that came from like a religious background, a synagogue leader, a man of wealth, a man of stature. And then you have the woman that was bleeding. And if we look at the woman that was bleeding, in Jewish customs, in Jewish ways, but when a woman was on her cycle, she was classed as unclean. She had her cycle for 12 years. Not nobody would have took her on. She would have been an outcast to the church, an outcast to the synagogue, the temples, etc. She would not have been allowed to come into them presences. She was classed that if she touched somebody, she would make them unclean. So everything else, she couldn't, she had no life. She had no life. She had no chance in her life of getting married, having children, appearance, everything. She would have been an outcast. And for 12 years, so you've got Jairus that's got everything in this situation, and you've got this lady that's got literally nothing and no hope. She's been to all the physicians, she's been to the doctors, whatever money she's got, she's invested it into trying to get what the Jewish law says, clean, so that she can actually have a life for herself. And nothing's worked. Nothing at all has worked. And then you've got Jairus, where his child, his only child, at the age of 12, is dying. His child is dying. This is a Pharisee. I don't actually know if he's a Pharisee. I don't know if he's a religious leader. To be honest with you, I don't really know. All I know is he's of the other team. But he's recognised something in all the time that Jesus is going around and he's doing the miracles that he did. He has recognised that this is something special about this guy. And all of a sudden, his daughter goes ill. So he's gone to Jesus and he said, "Jesus." In fact, he didn't just go to him. He got down on his knees. And he begged him, "Please come and heal my child. Come and heal my child." And Jesus has agreed. And he's now walking through the streets. And as he's walking through the streets, the woman that is bleeding has spotted him. And in her, she's thinking, and it's a point of faith that I want to bring out. In her, she's thinking, "I'm not going to get to speak to him, because there's thousands of people around him. I'm not going to get anywhere close to him. But if I can just touch the hem of his cloth, if I can just touch him, if I can just get there and do it, I'll be healed. I'll be healed. Her faith was at that point there. That's where she come to. And I know in each and every one of our lives, we have to come to that place of faith. We have to come to that place of believing of whatever situation we are in or about to go into. So as Jesus is walking round, she's come at the back of him and she's grabbed him. She's grabbed him. And immediately, the power of God, the power of Jesus, has left him. So he knows that somebody has touched him in faith. And, you know, I kind of picture Jesus walking through the street. As he's walking through the street, he's praying. He's building himself up. He's building himself up because there is a child that is ill. He's getting into that place. He's getting spiritually in that place as he's walking through the street. As he's walking through the street, the woman's come, grabbed him, and the power leaves him. And Jesus has recognised that the power has left him. Now, there's loads of people around pushing and shoving him, trying to just get near him. But he knows that somebody has touched him in faith. He knows that somebody's touched him in faith. So he's asked, and his disciples, he's asked, who's touched me? Yeah, come on, look at it. Everybody. But he knew that somebody has touched him in faith. And the woman admits it. Just going to read that little bit. And Jesus said, who touched me? Then he denied it. Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes throng you and press you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. Now then, the woman saw that she was not hidden. She came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the Lord's people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, Daughter, love that. Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. She was at a place there where her faith made her well. She believed that if she could just touch him, she believed that she'd be healed. And she was healed. Jesus told me, really? She robbed it, didn't she? Be honest with you, she robbed that healing, to be truthful. But Jesus told her, go in peace. Go in peace. He was in awe. He loved it, I think. Do you know, right? My mate once had a bad back. Pastor. And he prayed. I prayed. They prayed. They prayed. Everybody prayed for his back. And his back never got better. His back never got better. And we used to go out and do music things. He was the music person. I was speaking about testimonies and what have you. And we did outreaches in different places. And this day, he's unpacking all stuff, all speakers, and he's moving dead good. I went, Dave, back all right. He went, back's fantastic. I said, who prayed for that? He went, me. I said, you pray for it. And I'm thinking some big, massive man of God has come because he was in really bad pain with it. He went, I've prayed for it. The truth of it is, what he said was, I got sick of the pain and I'd had enough. So he took authority himself over his pain and he removed it. Well, just thought I'd chuck that in. Then as literally the woman, Jesus said, go in peace. People have come to Jairus. Your daughter's dead. Your daughter's dead. Trying to imagine it. Jesus answered to them, just believe. Just believe. So they went to the house. And when they got to the house, there is the wailers there. The people crying there. They've got all people in there. She's dead, she's dead, she's dead, she's dead. Jesus is still in that place. Just believe. But he got rid of all the negative energy around him. He got rid of the people that were telling that she's dead, the people that were crying, the people that was confusing the mind. And he dispersed them out the room. Hop it. He took them out the room. He told them to go, told them all to leave. And he just kept Peter and James, was it? And he's kept these people, his people, there with him. And then he just simply says, little girl, arise. And she comes back to life. The spirit enters back into her. But then he charges all the people that are there, the mother, the father, Peter, James, he discharges them, tell nobody about this. Tell nobody about this, because his time had not yet come. I believe the reason why he didn't want people to know about that then is because if you're raising the dead then, they're going to know that he is the Messiah. His time had not come to be crucified yet. So he literally, I believe that's the reason why he said, no more if you like. But I'm kind of more or less done here. But I just want to read out a few points of when I was reading it that come to me. Is there a mountain in your life that needs to be removed? Make a point of contact with God in faith, the quiet place. The power left Jesus. Has the power of God left you? And what I mean about that, are you hot for God? Are you red hot for God? Are you wanting God in your life? That's it in a nutshell. Has the power of God within you, or is it a distant thing when we first got saved? If you're in, I've got here, remove negative from around you. When I first got saved, the lads that I knocked about with were not very good lads. That's all I'll say. They was into drugs, I was myself, etc. We weren't great lads. And when I started to shout, Jesus this, Jesus that, Jesus this, from the other things that I would shout out, my mates thought I was crazy. So they disowned me. But I asked myself, did God remove them out of my life? I believe he did. I believe he did. I believe that God removed anything that could be where I can't fulfill what God's got a calling on my life. So we remove the negativity. He removed the big obstacles. I believe then the rest of it was up to me to maintain it. But if you're in a place where you're going praying for somebody and you've got negativity around you, Jesus can't do that, Jesus can't, Jesus not going to use you. This is the enemy speaking. Remove it. Remove that negativity and then pray. What you think and speak is what you will become. And that's just really a pull on from what I've just said. If we believe when we are praying for somebody that nothing is going to happen, nothing's going to happen. Because that's where our belief is. Jesus within that, Brian, just believe. And it's the way he said it, I've got to be honest with you, the way he said it cut me in two. Because I actually thought that I was walking the place of belief. I thought I was already doing that. But obviously, there were still problems and doubts within me when he did say that. It's not that long back, to be honest with you. It's not that long back. Have you got the promise of God, the power in the Spirit? Have you received that power from God? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And if not, maybe today is your day. Maybe today is your day to receive from God. If you've not yet made a commitment for Jesus Christ, today is also your day. There has to be a starting point in any journey. Any journey. If I'm going back home now, I've got to jump in my car to do it, or jump on the bus, or start walking. But there is always a starting point. It's the same in God. Everybody needs a starting point. The starting point to get to God the Father is Jesus, the only way, the way, the truth, and the life. Last one. Do you need a touch of God today? Do you need a touch of God today? There's many people within the room willing to pray with you. If you need a touch from God, please don't leave without prayer. Prayer is so important. Prayer is so important. Jobs are good.
Thank you, Brian. I think we'll just pray and commit that to God. So thank you, God. Thank you for the talk that Brian's given us. May that land on our hearts today, Lord God. May we take that with us as we go out today, Lord God. And may we just act on everything that Brian said, including the pointers at the end, Lord. In your name, amen.